Today's daf is Tamid Daf Lamid. We are holding on Daf Chaf Tes Amid Beis. I believe we were discussing yesterday, the Mishnah had said that they can use all different types of wood for the Ma'aracha, but they would not use Shel Zayis or Shel Geffen. So the Gemara had a Machlokas, why wouldn't they use Shel Zayis or Shel Geffen? Rav Papa said, Mishum Dekatri, because these types of wood are knotted, and therefore there are knots in the wood itself, and therefore it doesn't burn as smoothly. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that it enhances Yishuv Eretz Yisrael to have as many of these trees as possible. So to remove them, to cut them down, would be a violation of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara then quoted a Braisa, where we had different opinions of what the Dafka should use and shouldn't use. And the Gemara said that if you hold Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, so why were they able to use a Dekel? Doesn't a Dekel also involve Yishuv Eretz Yisrael because you have the Tamarim that grow on a Dekel? So the Gemara said, yeah, well, according to that, why are we makbid to Dafka use a Te'ena? A Te'ena should also be problematic because obviously it also produces fruit. So the Gemara said, no, Ma'isach L'meim Rebetena D'lo Avida Pira. We're talking about a Te'ena that doesn't produce fruits. So Dekel Nami, but D'lo Avida Pira, the Dekel tree that we're talking about also is a Dekel tree that does not produce fruit. So what the Gemara was essentially Mechadesh just now is that the Te'ena that they were makbid to use was Dafka, the kind of Te'ena that doesn't make fruit. They had a special Te'ena that didn't produce any fruit. So it turns out that according to Rav Papa, who disagrees with the reason of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, they can use Atze Te'ena even if the Te'ena does make fruits. I mean, according to Rav Papa, who said that the reason was Mishum Dekatri, they wouldn't use certain types of wood because they were knotted, so the Te'ena was not a problem, even if it did produce fruits, because the Te'ena wasn't knotted. It had nothing to do with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So the Be'er Sheva just asks the obvious question, isn't there a Lo Sase Mefureshes Petora, Lo Sashchas Eseitza, that one is not allowed to destroy a tree, a fruit-bearing tree? So why over here is there not an Isser to be Koreis the Eitz, to cut down the tree for the Ma'aracha, isn't it a violation of Bal Tashchis? The Gemara Baba Kama is clear that this Isser is even not in the context of war, not in the context of a siege of war. Any stam tree, to cut down any stam fruit-bearing tree, seems to be a violation of the Isser of Bal Tashchis. That's how the Rambam paskens in the 10th parak of Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Ches V'lo B'matzah B'Vad, El B'kol Makom Kalakotze Yitzid L'Nach L'Derech Hashchasa Loka. Anyone who destructively cuts down a tree is loka. You get malchus for cutting down a tree, even outside of the context of war. So the Be'er Sheva says that's exactly the point. The Rambam says anyone who cuts down a tree, derech hashchasa, in a destructive manner. But when it's letzorech a mitzvah, when it's a mitzvah gedola, like the atzei ma'aracha, then it's mutter to be machris an eitz. That's what the Shelis Yavitz also writes, that it's mutter for any sort of mitzvah, not just a mitzvah gedola, like the Be'er Sheva says, like the ma'aracha, any sort of mitzvah, because the Rambam formulates the Isser as only being an Isser, derech hashchasa. This is not called derech hashchasa. The Mishnah Lamelech in Yisurim Mizbech, Perek Zayin, Alach Gimel writes that the whole kasha doesn't make sense to him. The whole Isser of Bal Tashchis is to cut down a tree from its roots, to completely uproot a tree and to totally destroy it. But stam, to cut some pieces of wood, some branches, some leaves, whatever it might be, some smaller branches, larger branches, that's mutter even when the eitz is osur pri. So if the Be'er Sheva holds that that's osur also, it says the Mishnah Melech, he doesn't know where there would be a makar for that. He doesn't know where there's a makar for the idea that it would be osur to even cut down branches of a fruit tree. However, several achronim, if you look at the Magia on the Mishnah Lamelech, points out that he's mitzayin to the Rambam in Melachim Parak Yud Alach Yud that it's lav dafka eitz machal, rather kol eitz is osel hashchiso. And what he means to say is that even the anafim, even the branches, are included in the iser. So several achronim point out that even if there's no iser da oraisa necessarily of cutting down branches of a fruit tree, it seems that there's at least an iser da rabbanan involved, and maybe that's what the Be'er Sheva is asking. How could they cut down any part of the tree? After all, isn't it a violation of Lo Sashkes? There's also, this is all presuming that when Rav Papa's cholik on the time of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, it's that he holds that the only reason is because of the knotted wood. That's the only reason that we wouldn't use these certain types of trees is because of the knotted wood. So there is a discussion in the Rishonim whether the two shitos over here are mutually exclusive. The two shitos as to why they wouldn't use the wood, whether it it was because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, whether it was because of the knots, whether these two shittos necessarily reject each other. The Mefarish writes that Rav Achad is definitely moda to Rav Papa Svara that these Eitzim have ksharim in them and therefore you should not use them because they are knotted wood, you should not use them for Maracha. It's just that Rav Achad adds, in addition to Rav Papa's reason, that in aside from the problem of the ksharim, there's another problem that even those trees that don't have ksharim might have, and that is the issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And the Chilik Lemaisa between the two reasons, if you're allowed to use Atzei Te'ena, that are Osa Peros, that where if the whole Chisaron is only one of Ksharim, so then you should be able to use Atzei Te'ena that are Osa Peros. But if you hold it's a Din of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, you should not be able to use Atzei Te'ena that are Osa Peros. And the Mefarish says that you could prove that Rav Acha's Moda to Rav Papa Svara from the fact that the Gemara asks from a Brisa where Blazer and the Chacham argue whether you're allowed to use the wood of an alon dekel charuv shikma. These are all trees that have ksharim, but they're not bifnim. The ksharim are all b'chutz. So the Gemara asks, according to Rav Acha, how is the Tanakama matir to use the dekalim? What about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So says the Mefarish, why didn't the Gemara ask on Rav Acha that the whole machlokas doesn't make sense? From the fact that the whole machlokas is in Venice, it's muchach the Rav Acha's moda to the reason of Rav Papa, and that's what Blazer and the Chacham argue about when the ksharim are bachutz. So are those ksharim bad ksharim or are they not bad ksharim? But since Rav Acha holds that we ask for Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as well, so the Mara asks, why is the Tanakama matir to be mishtamish baasei dekalim? That's how the Mefarish understands that Rav Acha does not reject the Svara of Rav Papa. He agrees with the Svara of Rav Papa, just adds his own additional concern. The Rambam La'alacha quotes only the reason of Rav Acha, that you can't use Atzei Zayis and Atzei Gefen, because of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. That's the Rambam in Yisur Mizbech, Perek Zayin Alacha Gimel, that's all he quotes. Only the issue of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So Lech Mishnah points out that if the Rambam held like the Mefarish, then the Rambam should have said that the reason of not burning smoothly because they have Ksharim also should have been a viable reason. Why does he only quote the reason of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? So it must be that the Rambam holds that each one rejects the other one's reason, that Rav Acha and Rav Papa are in complete disagreement with each other. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, so mi ka te'ena the law of the pira? Wait a second, we're assuming that they use the te'ena, that the wood from a te'ena that we prefer is a type of te'ena that doesn't make fruits. So is there such a thing, a te'ena the law of the pira? Meaning, there might be such a thing, but is it so common that you have a te'ena that's law of the pira? If you look at the Mefarish, Shemika Tein, the law of the Pira, in Hachapirush, or Bishlam, Mideka, Lomitzin, Lachos, the Mideka, Loy, Regilin. We're not going to ask from a Dekel tree, which we just said also, sometimes you have a Dekel that's law of the Pira, because we never said that it was normal for them to use a Dekel tree, just that it was possible to use a Dekel tree. So we're not going to be bothered by the fact that most of the time, Dekalim do make Peros. But we're saying that it was normal and expected to use a Teina, and Dafka, they had to use a Teina that doesn't make peros. Well, is this really such a common thing? They have a teina, the law of the pira? Says Gemara, in. It's absolutely common. Here's what they would do. They would take white fig trees, and they would rub them down with a rope that would take off the bark of the tree, and that would cause the seeds that would ultimately develop into fruits, it would cause those seeds to fall out, and thereby they would kill the tree. They would kill the tree's ability to make any fruit. So this is how they would have a whole stock of Teina, the love of Pira. They would take these white fig trees, they would rub down the bark, the outside of the tree, till the seeds that would one day produce the fruit fall out. The Kavri, then they would bury this tree, Heichad the Masik Yama de Sirtun, where there was accumulated sediment by the Yam, Kora Avda, and it would grow into a tree that makes great beams, but Pira lo Avda, it wouldn't make any peros. Made such amazing beams that if you were to take three branches of these beams, it wouldn't, a bridge would never be, we have yet to come up with the engineering to make a bridge that would be strong enough to hold three of these beams. That's how strong and heavy the beams that were made by this tree were. So they dafka planted it for wood, and they set it up in advance that it shouldn't make peros, that it should only make wood. See, there's a Maracha Gedolah. The Mishnah then went on to say that they would be Masada the Maracha Gedolah. They would make the large pile of wood on the top of the Mizbeach, and the pile of wood had some sort of chazis in it. So remember, we had a Machlok Shoshanim, what the chazis is. Rov Rishonim say the chazis was a window that they would have on the eastern side of the pile of wood. But we saw the Rambam that said the chazis was not a window. The chazis was similar to how we use the term chazis in the beginning of Masechet Bava Basra. When one guy builds a kosel on his own side, so he would make a chazus on the other side to show that that the kosel belongs completely to him, and therefore if it were ever to fall down, he would be able to keep all of the stones. He wouldn't have to split it with his neighbor. So that's how the Rambam understood chazus. Now, keeping both of those pshatim in mind, let's start with the first pshat that the chazus is a window. So let's read the Gemara. The Gemara is going to read my time. Why would they make this window on the eastern side of the Ma'aracha? Rav Huna, Rav Chista, Chad Amar Kedesh Tei Ruach Min HaShevetz Ba, because the wind blows from the east, and they want the wind to ignite the fire, or to make the fire go quicker, so it would come in from the eastern side. V'Chad Amar Kedesh Yumatzisnes HaAlisa Misham, and others say that the Alisa, the little wood chips, the little flammable material that they would put into the Ma'aracha in order to help it light, you'd be able to stick a fire through that window to light those chips up. So Meisve Revachay Behen Bein Hagzirin Sheyimatzis Nesalisa Misham. But wait a second! Didn't the Mishnah say exactly how they would light those wood chips? Was that they would leave spaces between the large blocks of wood? It wasn't through this window. They actually, when they arranged the logs, they would leave spaces between the logs where they would have the wood chips, and you would light those. So how can we say now, though, according to one opinion, that the point of the window on the side of the Ma'aracha was to be able to reach in and light the wood chips? That was that's what the space between the logs was for. And so Gemara Amalach Mekamos Mekamos Avdi. They would light it from different spots. If you ever lit a bonfire, you don't just light it in one spot. You light it in different spots where you can, so that the fire will all come together. It lights much more quickly that way. So yes, they would light it from this window, and they would also light it from in between the various logs. So that's how the Pashut reading of our Gemara. Lecha Mishnah just points out, how is this Gemara going to be read according to the Rambam? The Rambam who said the Chazise does not mean a chalon, rather it's an os v'simin, b'tzad ha-mizrach, to know that they began the Ma'aracha on the eastern side. So how is he going to explain the Gemara? What's the question? Why did they make this chazis b'mizrach? That was the whole din, that it should be a simin, mitzad the mizrach, to know that that's where they began the lighting. And the two perushim in the Gemara don't seem to fit the two answers the Gemara gives don't seem to really fit the Rambam's interpretation of chazis. So says Lecha Mishnah, according to the Rambam, here's how to read the Gemara. When the Gemara says, well, first of all, you could have, even before we get to Lecha Mishnah's Peshat, one theoretically could have said, and the Biurei Adaf over here in footnote, he points out, one theoretically could have said that according to the Rambam, the Gemara's Kasha is about the spaces between the Eitzim, where the Gemara is asking, what's the purpose of these spaces that they would leave between the Eitzim? That the Gemara was never asking about the Chazis at all. It never says that it's asking about the Chazis. It doesn't even use the word Chazis in this whole little shtickle of Gemara. So it could be it was just asking about the spaces that they leave between the wood, and the Gemara says, oh, that's a machlokas, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, whether it's because we want to allow the wind to get in, or we want to be able to reach in to light the fire, to light the wood chips. And that's the machlokas. And then the Gemara asks on that from the Lashon of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, beferish, that they left these spaces for atzatzas aliyasa, to light the wood chips, and not because of the ruach. So how could there even exist an opinion that they would, that the spaces were there in order for the wind to get in? And the Gemara's answer is Mekomos Mekomos Avdu, that some of the spaces were made in order to be able to reach in and light the chips, and some of the spaces were made in order to allow for the wind to enter. And that would fit beautifully. The Gemara would read very nicely. The only part that wouldn't read so nicely is the Gemara's initial kasha. The Gemara asks, Maitaima, why did they do this? it's very unlikely that the Gemara would ask that on the line of the Mishnah that said that they would leave spaces between the logs, because the Mishnah said a reason why they would leave spaces between the logs. The Mishnah said, we leave spaces between the logs so that you can light the wood chips that were the flammable wood chips that are between the logs. So even if the Gemara had in the back of their minds a different reason, it's unusual to start the conversation with Maitaima when the Mishnah gives a tam. So the rest of the Gemara would read beautifully with that pshat. So perhaps for that reason, Lech HaMishnah does not like that pshat. Lech HaMishnah says different in the Rambam. He says like this: the Gemara's kasha Maitaima is not asking why they made the chazis on the eastern side, like all the other Rishonim understand the kasha. The Gemara's kasha is why they made the entire ma'aracha on the eastern side of the Mizbeach and not somewhere else. Why did they set up this pile of wood dafka on the eastern side of the Mizbeach? So the Gemara says, Machlokas, Rav Huna, Rav Chista, whether the reason is because on the eastern side the wind blows strongest and mele it's better to make a ma'aracha there so that the Evari Tamid will burn much more quickly because it's going to be subjected to more wind, or not because of this, or maybe it's not because of the Strefas Evari Tamid, because we don't care if the Evari Tamid burn quickly or don't burn quickly. The reason they made it, the reason they wanted it to light quickly, is because then they could take from there a fire to light the ma'aracha shnia using these little wood chips that would light from the large ma'aracha. They could take a little bit of that fire and light the ma'aracha shnia. That's the machlokas. Those are the two opinions. So we're not asking about the window, we're asking about the entire pile, the entire large pile of wood. What's it doing on the eastern side? Clearly it's there because we want it to light more quickly. But there are two opinions as to why we want it to light more quickly. Do we want it to light more quickly because that will make for faster burning of the limbs of the Karman Tamid? Or do we not care about faster burning of the limbs of the Karman Tamid? We want it to light more quickly so we can more quickly take out one of those wood chips while they're ablaze and use them to light the Ma'aracha Shnia. Those are the two opinions. So the Gemara asks them that from the Lashon of the Mishnah, that they made these Ravachim in order to light these wood chips. So we see clearly they would light these wood chips from the spaces, not from the Mizrach, not from the eastern side. So back to the Kasha then. Why did they make the Ma'aracha on the eastern side? We weren't even using the fact that it was the eastern side to get things lit quickly. Meaning, according to this reading, according to the Lech HaMishnah's reading, both Shitos assume that it was on the east side because we wanted it to light more quickly. And then whereas Kasha is, no, it lights more quickly because you leave spaces so you can manually light it more quickly. So the Gemara answers, Mekamos, Mekamos Asu. They would light Mibein HaRavachim and also Mitzad HaMizrach. And that's why they made it Mitzad HaMizrach, meaning they both contributed to the speed at which the whole pile was ablaze. That's both factors contributed, both the Ravachim as well as the fact that it was B'Mizrach. And Lech HaMishnah points out that the advantage of this Pshat is that it doesn't only help the Ram, it helps the Ravid also, because the Ravid explains Chazise of the Mishnah means the Roshei HaEitzim were arranged mi Mizrach l'Marav and not mitzafon l'Darom, that the way the logs were arranged were east to west and not north to south. So maybe that's the issue of the Gemara according to the Ravid as well. Why did they make the entire Ma'aracha on the eastern side of the Mizbeach? Okay, so this Gemara can be read according to all the different Shitos and Rishonim. So that was the second parak of Maseches Tamid. Now we begin the third parak of Maseches Tamid. Now we have certain Maseches that we've done, like Kinim, that don't have any Gemara, just have Mishnayis, and certain most Maseches have that we've done in the Daf Yomi have Gemara. Tamid is unique because some prakim have Gemara, some prakim just pure Mishnayis, no Gemara. Now when we say no Gemara, it means there's no Gemara in Tamid about it, but a lot of these Mishnayos are quoted elsewhere in Shas, particularly now, the third parak of Tamid, it's pretty much all in Maseches Yuma as well. At one point or another, it's quoted in Maseches Yuma, so the Gemara does have discussion about things that we say in this Mishnah, but that's why it wasn't necessary to have Gemara on this Perek alone. So in the Gemara, it's just one long Mishnah. So that's today's Perek. Says the Mishnah, Amar Lan Hamuna, going on in how the Seder Hayom worked, how the day happened in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Muna would say, Bo v'fisu, come let's draw lots and see who gets to do what. Mi HaShochet, who gets to be the one that shechts the Karban Tamid. Mi hazorik? Who gets to one? Who gets to be the one that's zorik the dam of the carbon tamin? Mi medashin mizbeach hapnimi? Who's going to remove the ashes from the inner mizbeach? Mi medashin as a menorah? Who's going to remove the ashes from the menorah? Mi malei varim lakevesh? Who's going to bring the limbs of the carbon tamin up on the ramp? What are the various limbs that need to be brought? Well, all by different people. One guy would bring harosh. But the second guy would bring haregel shel yamin, and then shtei yadayim, and then the shtei yadayim, animals that have hands, they have four legs, right? Yadayim just means the front legs, and then ha'ukatz v'haregel shel smol, the tail and the left hind leg, hachaze, the fatty chest, v'agera and the neck, v'shtei defanos and the two flanks, the two sides of the animal, v'akirvayim and the intestines, v'asolos and the flour, v'achavitin and the chavitin pancakes, v'ayayin and the wine. So hafisu zocha mishazocha. They would draw lots, and whoever wins, right? Whoever was zocha in these various jobs would get to do these various jobs. The mefarish over here just asks a very simple kasha, that the seder that this Mishnah says does not conform with the seder that it has in Maseches Yuma Daf Lamed Gimel, where we find that Abayi have Masader Seder HaMa'aracha. We should know this, we've known this by heart already. Abayi have Masader Seder Ma'aracha from Karbanos, right? Abayi was Masader the Seder Ma'aracha in the name of Abba Shaul, that first they were Medashin Mizbeach HaPnimi, then they were Medashin the Chamesh Neros of the Menorah. Why only Chamesh? We'll see later, because two were lit already, were constantly lit, so they were Medashin the Chamesh Neros of the Menorah, and then they were Shochet the Karmat Tamid, then they were Zorek the Dam, then they went back to the menorah to clean out the other two neros. Yeah, that's how it says it in Yuma. Over here we have the pious for the shechting of the Tamid and the zrika of the Tamid before any Dishon Mizbeach, before any of the Dishon HaMenorah. So it doesn't sound like it conforms at all to the order we have in Maseches Yuma. So Tosfos in Maseches Yuma writes that our Mishnah obviously doesn't hold like Abba Shaul. It's going like, it's a ton of our Mishnah holds that the Dama Tamid was before the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi. And that's why they would be Mefayis first for the Dama Tamid, for the Shechita and the zrika, and then they were Mefayis for the Dishon, because that's the order that our Tana held it was done. However, the Mefarish says, no, there's no machlokas over here. He's Miyashiv our Mishnah, even according to Abba Shaul. Really, the Seder Avodos is like Abba Shaul says in Maseches Yuma, like Abaye was Masader, Mishmeid Abba Shaul in Maseches Yuma. That first it would be Medashi Mizbeach and the Menorah, and only afterwards they would sheft and be Zorik, the dam of the Karban Tamid. Why then would they do the pious? Why then would they draw the lots in a different order? So he says they would first be do the pious for the Shechita and the Zrika, because even before the Dishun, granted they wouldn't actually shecht or be zorik before the Dishun, but they would have to go and bring the lamb from the Lishcha Setlaim. They would have to go, the Mishnah is going to say, and check it, examine it for any mumin. So they wanted to get that process started before the Dishun. So granted, the actual avoda that they would do on the animal, they would only do after the Dishon HaMizbeach and the Dishon of the Chamesh Neros. But since there is some work, some preparatory work that needs to get done first, we needed to know who's going to be doing the Shechita and the Zrika, so those guys can get the ball rolling and can start working on the animal. The Tos Yishanim in Yuma gives another teretz, that since the Shechita, Satamin, and the Zrika is the Ikar Avodas Hayom, that's why they did the lottery first for that, even though it was actually a later Avodah. It was an Avodah that they did later in the day. So it wasn't because they needed to get the work going, says the Tos Yishanim, nor is it because there's any machlokas about the order that things were done in, but the lotteries were drawn in the order of Chashivas. We'd start with the most Chashiva lottery, and then we'd go to the less Chashiva things. So that's why they would have could do the Shechita and the Zrika first. And the Chidush Agrai says that when it says in Yuma the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi was before the Dishon HaMenorah and the Dishon HaMenorah before the Dama Tamid, it means before the Zrika's Dama Tamid. Maybe the Shechita's Dama Tamid was before the Dishon Mizbeach HaPnimi VaMenorah, and that's how he's miyashiv it. That the Dama Tamid doesn't mean Shechita necessarily, it means the Zrika. So according to the Gra, first they would shech the tamid, and then kohanim other kohanim would run and do the dishun to be medashin the mizbeach and the menorah. And at that time, while they were doing that, a second kohen would go with the dam after the kabbalah to the makom hazrika. And when he got to the makom mizbeach for the zrika, by the time he got there, the kohanim who were doing the dishun were already done with the dishun, and therefore he was able to be zorek right away. So it was a very it was all happening 1, 2, 3. It happened one right after the other. That's how the Gra understands the Seder HaDvarim. One other critical point over here, we say they do a lottery to figure out mi hashochet, who's the one that gets to shech the animal. Shech the animal, says the Rosh, shchitas ksheru bizar, the halacha is. We know that the Mishnah Zvachim Lam and Alpha and Beis, shchitas ksheru bizar, you don't even need a kohen to do the shchita. So why would they have to do a lottery on the avodas hashchita? So says the Rosh, no, they still have to do it because it's a very chashva avoda. Even though it's the beginning, it's the first thing you would do with the karmen tamid. So even though it's something that could have been done by a zar, it was still coveted. It was something that people wanted to do. So they had to come up with some sort of system to determine who was going to be able to do it. The Bartanura just explains a little more, that since it's the first avoda, it was chaviva, it was very beloved, and if they were not mefayis, the Kohanim would start fighting about it, and it would be chashakana, so they had to do something about it to come up with a peaceful way of resolving who gets to do the shechita. Now the source for this is a Gemara in Yuma, that the Gemara says that they're masakin the pious for shechita, even though it's not an avoda tama, because it's tchilas avoda. So the Gemara in Yuma already makes reference to the idea that it was special on account of it being tchilas avoda in Yuma Chav Zayin and Beis. The Ritva sort of takes the teeth out of the kasha a little bit. The Ritva in Yuma says, yes, shchitas ksher bizar, but mitzvasa b'kohen l'chadchila. But it's always better to have a kohen do it l'chadchila. So that's why it's a non-issue. Of course we're not going to have a zar do it, we're going to try to do the mitzvah l'chadchila. Now it's unclear where he got this idea that it's mitzvah sabakoyin lechadchila, but that's what the Ritva holds, that it's ksher bizar, but it's mitzvah sabakoyin lechadchila. Okay, says the Mishnah Vayter. Now, so now we have we do these lots, and we now know which kohanim are going to bring up all the different limbs and all the different parts of the mizbeach. Who's going to do the shechita? Who's going to do the zrika? Who's going to do the dishun? So now the next step, Amalahen, the Mamuna would say, Tzuru migiyaz man shechita. Go, or I'm not sure if it's the Mamuna or the Shochet, probably, would say, go and see go see if the time for shechita has arrived. Imigia haro omer barkai. And if the time for shechita has arrived, then the person who is on the lookout to see if the sun has risen as much as it needs to in order for the shechita to be done, he would scream out barkai, which means like rays of light, that there is some ray of light there. Masi ben Shmuel omer hey, that they would have to confirm that the entire eastern side of the sky, all the way until Chevron, is completely lit up. And he would say yes. I mean, they would ask, you say Barkai, you say that you see light. How much light? Do you see all the light that the entire eastern side of the sky is lit up to Chevron? They'd say, yes, we do. Say, okay, good. Now let's go bring the Tleh from the Lishchas HaTlaim. The Lishchas HaTlaim was on the northwestern corner. Arba lishchas ayisham, and there were four lishchas. Achas lishchas atlaim, v'achas lishchas achasamos. The chasamos were the receipts, meaning when you had to buy nesachim in the Beis HaMikdash, so you'd pay money and you'd get a little ticket. And then you'd go redeem that ticket for the various nesachim that you needed, for the shemen, for the yayin, whatever, or the flour, whatever it is that you required for the nesachim. So that's they kept the tickets in the lishchas hachosamos. V'achas lishchas beis hamokar, and then there was a lishchas beis hamokar where they would have the fire going to keep everybody warm. V'achas lishchas shosin ba lechem apanim. And they also had the lishka where they would make the lechem apanim. Nichnasu lishchas hakelim. Then they went into the lishchas hakelim. Hotziu misham tishim u'shlosha klei kesef u'klei zahav. And they bring out from the lishchas hakelim 93 golden and silver kelim. Now, the Raiva just points out, he doesn't know what this Lishchas HaKelim is. He says, the Tana never told us where this Lishchas HaKelim is, and if you learn through Maseches Midos, this Lishcha is not included in the other Lishchas that are mentioned in Maseches Midos. It never says anything about where the Lishchas HaKelim is. And even Maseches Shkalim, it mentions this Lishcha, calls it Lishchas HaKelim, and over there it says that there were Shtei Lishchas B'Migdash, Lishchas HaKashayim, and Lishchas HaKelim. But it's not clear if this was Dafka in the Migdash, or it was in the Zara, where exactly this was located, and he leaves it as a Tzarechiyun, where it was located. The Rav is not sure where this Lishcha is. In the Sefer, Derech HaKodesh, he says it could be that the Lishcha Sakelim was not a Lishcha that was built into the Chalal HaZara. It could be that it was in the Kira Choma, or it was very, very tiny, and therefore doesn't bear mentioning. But it's more likely that this was, says the Sefer Derech HaKodesh, more likely that this is what we referred to as the Lishchas Pinchas HaMalbish, which was next to Shar Nikanor, and it had another name. It was also called Lishchas HaKelim. So in addition to being called Lishchas Pinchas HaMalbish, it was also called the Lishchas HaKelim. So when trying to map out exactly what the various Lishchas were and what everything looked like in the Mikdash, so this is one of the greater challenges, to find out this where exactly this Lishchas HaKelim is. So what would they do? Hishkos HaTamid, the Kos Shel Zahav, they would give the carbon tamid, the animal, to drink from a golden goblet. This is what we saw yesterday. There's a question in Machlokas, is this a guzma? Or is this literal, that we're so obsessed with the concept of Ein Anius Makom Ashirus that even the animals get to drink from a golden goblet? And Afal Pishu Mavukor Mi Be'erev Mivrakno Solar Avukos. As we mentioned before, even though it was already Mavukar from the previous night, they already checked it to make sure it didn't have any mum. They would now use torches, the light of torches, to check it again to make sure that it doesn't have any mum. The Rambam Tmidna Musaf and Parak Aleph Halachatas writes that ein pochsin mishisha tlaim amavukarim belishchas atlam shabemikdash. That at all times they always had six sheep that were all checked and examined for mumin in the lishchas hatlaim. V'yu mukhanim kodem yom hakrava barba yamim v'afal pishayim vaknos amitchila lo yishoknas atam nacham vaknos hashniya kodem shchita la'or avukos. They would have it all ready and checked 4 days in advance, but even so, they would check it again in the morning when they would actually bring the Karmat Tamid. So the Sefer Ranan Leboker writes, to be medayik from the Rambam, that these 4 days they were mevaker only once at the beginning of the 4 days, and now was the second Bikur. It's not that they were mevaker each day in the 4 days. The Rambam says this was a Bikur Shnia. It was a second Bikur. It wasn't a fifth Bikur. So obviously, even though he says it was 4 days in advance, it was once at the beginning of 4 days. However, Rashi, Maseches Pesachim, doesn't seem to learn that way. Rashi in Pesachim Daf Tzadivav Amalaf writes that they would be mevakerit on each and every one of the 4 days. They would be mevaker. Tosos and Sukkah Daf Mem Beis writes, when it says that the shochet of the Karban Tamid, the she'inu mevukar kilchaso v'Shabbos, if someone shechs the Karban Tamid that wasn't checked properly on Shabbos, he's chayev v'chatas, that means if it wasn't checked the 4 days like it's supposed to be checked. And that din is ma'akev even b'dieved, because we learn the din of Bikur, of the Karban Tamid, from Gzer Shava b'Karban Pesach. And b'Karban Pesach, it's ma'akev even b'dieved. So Chazanish says that din, that it's ma'akev b'di'eved, is talking about the bikur of the 4 days. Bein the Rashi, bein the Rambam, however you learn they did it, whether it was once at the beginning of the 4 days or each of the 4 days, that's the bikur that's ma'akev. But says the Chazanish, our bikur, the one that we're talking about in our Mishnah, where they would check the morning of, that was not ma'akev, because that's not learnt from Karban Tamid. If it wasn't learned from Karban Tamid, so then it's not going to... I mean, that was not learned from Karban Pesach, I should say. And if it wasn't learned from Karban Pesach, so that's why it's not going to be... That's why it's not going to be Ma'akev. Okay, so says the Mishnah Vayitu. Now, Misha Zacha B'Dish Mizbeach HaPnimi, the guy who won the lottery to be able to do the Dish Mizbeach HaPnimi, U'B'Dish HaMenorah, and to clean out the ashes of the menorah, Hoy Makdimin, they would go early, unclear what that means, Makdim to what? So Rishonim aren't even sure about this, what this means, Makdimin, they would go before something, V'Dalad Kelim B'Yadam, and they would carry 4 Kelim in their hands, Hateni, Vakos, V'Shnei Maftechos, the basket, the jug, and the 2 keys. Hateni Doma Latirkov Shel Zahav Machzik Havayim V'Chatzi. The Hateni was like a basket, a golden basket that held 2.5 calves. That's how big it was. V'Koz Doma L'Kiton Gadol Shel Zahav. The Koz was like a large golden pitcher with Shtei Maftechos and the two keys. One that you could only use by sticking your arm in through the wall all the way up until your armpit and reaching around. One key had to open a door that was only openable from the inside, so you had to stick their arm in and reach around to open it up. And the other one was just used in the normal way. And the Mishnah will describe the exact process. Balo the pishpesh atzvoni. First, they would go to the northern pishpesh. Pishpesh are small doors, not the major gates, but sometimes next to the major gates, they had tiny little doors, they had these small, much smaller doors. Remember, the gates were enormous. They were not like our doors, you know, going through, like a regular door going into a room or a house. The gates were enormous. The pishpashin were more like normal doors. They were just regular sized doors. So shnei pishpashin ha'ilu l'shara gadol. The shara gadol had these two miniature doors, these two normal sized doors. Achas b'tzafon v'achas b'darom. One on the northern side and one on the southern side. Shebedarom lo nichnas bo adam. The one on the southern side, no one ever went into. Alavu mufurish alidei Yecheskel. That's what Yecheskel Navi was speaking about when it says Shenemar v'yomer elai Hashem hashar azeh sagur yiyeh lo yipaseach. That there's this one gate that has to always remain closed. No man is ever allowed to go through that gate. That gate is for God and God alone, and therefore it should always remain closed. So that was the other pishpesh, the one in the Darom, the one on the south side, that was never opened. But the one on the north side is the one that he went through. So Natal Samaftech Pasach as a pishpesh, he would take the key and open up that little door. V'nichnas lahata, and then he went into this little chamber called the ta. Umeata lahechel, from the ta he went into the hechel. Achim Megil Shara Gadol, until he got to the giant gate, to the Shara Gadol. He gil shara gadol heavier sanagar vesaposachos. He got to the shara gadol. He'd remove the bolt and whatever else was blocking it to keep it locked. Upascho, and he opened the shara gadol. Lo yeshochet hashochet at shumeya shara gadol shenifdach. The shochet was not allowed to shecht anything until he heard the shara gadol opening up. The shara gadol made quite a sound. It was a large door, so it had a very loud creak to it. And when they heard that happen, then they would shecht. In Maseches Vachem, the Gemara learns in Maseches Vachem, Daf Nun Hei Beis, that the shlamim that are shechted before the psichas lasas hahechal are pasul. That you dafka have to wait for the shara gadol to shecht. Pasuk says v'shachtu pesach ol moed. Only when the Pesach Hechel is Pesuach, not when it's Na'ul. So Tosus writes that even though we say that din by the Shlamim, the Halach is by all Karbanos. So you're not allowed to shecht any Karban before the Psichas Lasos HaHechel. That door, that opening of the door, signified the beginning of Shechita for that day was now okay. Prior to that, it would absolutely be Pasul. And Tosus writes, we could prove that we learn all Karbanos from Shlamim, because it says in Tamid, that the Shochet of the Karban Tamid would not shecht until he heard the Kol Shara Gadol Shaniftach, and the Karban Tamid was the first Karban every day. So even the Tamid we learn from Shlamim that you're not allowed to shecht before the gate was opened. So Tos points out that's a Kashan Rashi who says that the whole halacha is only by Shlamim and not by other Kachim. Our Mishnah seems to be a very strong Kashan Rashi who holds that only Shlamim can't be shechted before the Shara Gadol is opened, but the other Karbanos, no problem, you can shecht them. No, Tos says, clear in our Mishnah, even the Karban Tamid. That's what Tos writes at the beginning of Erevin as well, that all the Karbanos to learn from Shlamim, you can't shecht any of them before the opening of the Shar. So the Tos Yishanim and Yuma writes that it could be that it's only a din in the Shlamim, that there's this psul, that if you shecht them before the Psichas and Lassos, they're psul, and not by other Karbanos. What do we do with our Mishnah and Tamid, that the Shochet would not shecht until he heard that Shar Gadol was open? So that could be a din Drabanan. Who says Ma'akeh B'diavad, that it's a real psul? Our Mishnah doesn't tell us it's a din D'Oraisa, so it just tells us what they did. Obviously, they observed the Dinim D'Rabbanon as well. So that's a stam, a Din D'Rabbanon. Fine. Says the Mishnah now. Once we're talking about the noise that this shar made, so the Mishnah mentions, Me Yericho Hayushomen Kol Shar Gadol Shenifdach. Interestingly, there's no discussion in any Gemara about this being a guzma, it doesn't seem. It seems that this is this is taken literally, that they heard from Yericho, all the way in Yericho, which was quite a ways away, they heard from Yericho the sound of the Shar HaGadol opening up. It's not the only thing they heard from Yericho. From Yericho they heard the musical instrument called the shovel. Magrefa was a type, I guess it looked like a shovel, but it was a musical instrument. And they would hear that being played. They would hear the playing of the cymbals. And they would hear the playing of the flute. They would hear Kol Gvine Karos, the Gvini, the announcer. They would hear the wheel that Ben Katin made for the kiyar to lower it into the ground. They would hear the shear of the Leviim. They'd hear the shofar blowing in the Mikdash. And some say even the call of the Kohen Gadol when he would mention the Shem Hashem in Yom Kippur. And all the way from Yericho, they would smell the aroma of the Pita Maktores. Amar Blazer ben Daglai, Izim hayu la'aba ba'ari ha'michvar, vayu misachos mireich Pita Maktores. And unbelievably, said, my father had goats in Ari ha'michvar, and they would sneeze from the smell of the Pita Maktores. That's how strong the smell of the Pita Maktores was from such a distance. So, period. That's what they, all the great things that they heard and smelled from Yericho. Misha zacha b'tamid, the guy who was zocha to do the carbon tamid, to shach the tamid, mashka v'holich b'esam et b'chaim, would schlep it and bring it to the Beis HaMitbachayim, the area of the Shechita, and whoever was going to carry the limbs of the Karban accompanied him. Beis HaMitbachayim hayu litzvono shel Mizbeach. This area where they would shecht was on the northern side of the Mizbeach, v'alav chesamudim nanasim, and they had 8 midget poles, meaning these short poles that were in the ground. They had these square cedar blocks on top of these little poles. And in these cedar blocks, they had iron hooks that were set into them. The gimel sdar mekolechad ve'achashven tolin, and they had 3 rows of iron hooks in each one where they would hang the animal when by its feet. Umafshit and al shulchanos shel shayu shebein amudim, and they would skin the animal on these marble tables that they had in between these poles. So the animal would be hanging by its feet, and they would rest the animal's body on the tables, and they would pull off the skin. Period. The guy who got to do the cleaning off of the ashes of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, so he went and he took his basket and he put it down in front of himself. He put it down in front of the Mizbeach, and he would scoop up the ashes and put it into the basket. And then he would sweep off whatever he didn't scoop up, he would sweep off of the Mizbeach into the basket. And he left the basket there, and then he left. Misha zacha b'dishna menorah, the guy who got to do the sweeping out of the ashes of the menorah, nichlas amasa beiz neiros ma'aravias dolkin, he found the 2 western lights of the menorah lit, medashin es hashar, so he scooped out, cleaned out the ashes from the other 5, umaniyach haselu dolkin v'mekoman, and he left those 2 lit, matzon shekavu, if he found them extinguished, medashin madlikin minadolkin, v'achach medashin es hashar, he'd sweep them out, and then he would relight them, and then he would be medashin everything else. The even isol the Fnei Menorah, there was this stone right in front of the menorah, even though the menorah wasn't that tall, but there was a stone in front of the menorah, Ubag Gimel Malos, and there were 3 steps in that stone to walk up the 3 steps, Shaleh Kohen Omen, he would stand on the top of the 3 steps, Umeitevesa Neros, and he would clean out the Neros from there, Umaniach Esakuz Al Malashnia, but the Kuz, that pitcher that he took, where he was putting all these ashes, he would leave those on the 2nd step, the Yatza, and then he left. So Mr. Shem will pick up from the continuing of the Avoda tomorrow with the 4th parent.